This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And it is caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the best of the Eagles.
And the Eagles win! The Eagles win!
A weekly mix of Sports Radio 94 WIP's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
I have a feeling where people are going to come down. I know one person in particular who's going to have a strong emotion about this. But I am curious what people think today about this story and this idea. So, our friend who we worked with for a very long time, Howard Eskin, he put out a report yesterday.
Howard.
Yes, Howard tweeted something yesterday. And he was linking up a story about a trade idea. And he was basically saying, this particular trade idea that is in this article, that's not happening. But he threw this at the end of his tweet. However, this is a quote. However, I had heard A.J. Brown's name in some trade talks with the Eagles possibly moving into the top 10. So Howard's point was, you know, trade conversations happen all the time before the draft. And Howard had heard the Eagles and whatever team, some team inside the top 10, maybe some trade talks there for the Eagles to move off of A.J. Brown for a high pick in the draft. All right. So let's use that as the backdrop of this. You know, I saw it yesterday. I knew we would talk about it today because it's a huge potential story with the draft less than a week away. My first thought on this is I would trade A.J. Brown for a top 5 pick if Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter are on the board. If they're on the board when they get up on the draft, when the Eagles call a particular team, like if those guys slip past the first 2 or 3 picks, and let's say the Patriots are on the board of 4, we know the A.J. Brown stuff there, Vrabel, and they need a receiver. If that's a possibility, I would trade A.J. Brown. And before everyone freaks out, and I know they just won the Super Bowl, so here comes the syndrome and all that. Let me just say a couple things, okay? Let me just say a couple things. A.J. Brown's a great football player.
Yes, he is.
This isn't, I don't think A.J.'s that good, let's trade him. Like, this is not a Trey Turner thing. I think A.J.'s a wonderful football player. But, Hugh, a couple things stand out to me. One, that you look, and I've said this for a couple months, that you look at the Eagles the way they're set up with all the money on the offensive side. Mm-hmm. And at some point here, and it doesn't have to be today.
It's going
to
catch up with them.
And they're going to have to even it out, right?
Yes.
When they start to have to pay Jalen Carter and Quinyon and Cooper and Nolan, they're probably going to have to take someone off the offense and move the money to the defense. So this is a way to do it earlier. I think you get big value for A.J. right now. A year or two from now, he's a little older, a little more expensive. Maybe you wouldn't get as much. And I do think Carter and Hunter are great, great prospects that if you could get one of those to move off A.J., I would do it. And the last thing I'll say, and we'll say a lot today, is I think about how the Eagles won last year. They ran the football. Like, do I need two $25, $30 million a year wide receivers to run the football as much as they did? I don't think so. They were bottom of the NFL in terms of passing yards per game, towards the bottom, the 28th, 29th, whatever they were. They were towards the bottom of the NFL. They're a run-based team who won on their defense. If I could get a special prospect, still keep my first-round pick, I could draft another receiver the way you crazies want to, because now I need a receiver, or I could take Travis Hunter and play him both ways. If this is possible, I would do it. And then you have the specter of last year, Hurts, Brown, that dynamic. I don't know if those guys are in a great spot. I know they won the Super Bowl. But if this is possible, if Hunter or Carter are on the board, I'd pull the trigger. Hugh, curious to think, and this is where we do our daily long talk. And Hugh,
yeah, I was about to say, we need to get this segment sponsored,
yeah,
because
long talk.
This is the long talk section of the show.
All right, what do you do? Would you trade AJ for a top five pick?
Can I have to tell you my thought process when I heard this. Mm-hmm. And I know that initially a lot of people aren't going to agree with what you said, Joe, because they're not thinking about it in the way I think you should be thinking about it. I look at it like this, and Howard's right. Shout out to Howard Eskin. Teams call about everybody. They do. And as a former NFL player, I know for a fact that you're always looking to upgrade your team. You're always looking to do better and get better players and evolve. And a lot of times you have to evolve and change in spite of the talent that you have. And what I mean by that is money plays a huge factor in some of the decisions that you have to make. Okay, so I set all of that up to say this, that in a short form, yes, I would trade him, but this is why. I think there's a lot of factors that go into this. You look at his production from last year and the money that he's being paid, and you're looking at it and say, okay, we were able to still be an effective team without him, you know, not taking anything, diminishing anything from what he brought to the table or anything like that. That's not what I'm doing. Just listen to what I'm saying, people, because I know y'all probably in the cars. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, Douglas? He was on the field and we won games with him and all that stuff. Yes, we did. But I think there's another dynamic that plays into this, the locker room dynamic, you know, because I think back on some of the things that were said in the past. I think back of some of the things that were said by Jalen is talking about how, you know, Saquon Barkley was the glue and how he held this team together.
Yep.
I'm also thinking of, okay, what if this conversation has a little bit, if this conversation has legs, because maybe, just maybe, the relationship between Jalen and AJ has deteriorated to the point where they can't coexist in the locker room.
Yep.
And the fact that the Eagles right now, they're not showing it, but they're strapped for cash a little bit.
Well, I think this offseason shows us that.
Yeah, like they're strapped for cash a little bit. And coupled with that and the fact that there's been a paradigm shift in the NFL. Like that's the biggest thing for me, Joe. There's been a paradigm shift, and it feels like we're going to see more of that this year. I'm looking at the draft now. Ashton Jeanty is a guy that's probably going to be a top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably safe to say that. And you look at some of these other running backs. What is it, Skeeterboro?
Yeah, from Arizona State, Carolina.
He's not going to be he's probably not going to be a first-round pick. But the point that I'm trying to make is I think it's starting to shift to more of a running attack in the NFL. And you look at the Eagles and the fact that we have two high-paid receivers on this team, and one of them, it can't coexist with the quarterback.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And you got to get cheaper. You got to start spreading that money around a little bit.
And
you got to get cheaper.
Yeah, well, let's listen to Howie Roseman. He talked about that, the financial situation and why they need young players here in Philadelphia.
We have a lot of good players that have earned their paychecks. We have others coming up through that will be in position to earn paychecks. And so we want to get as many young, talented players on this roster as we can to add competition, which is one of coach's core values, and also because of the financial situation that we're going to have going forward in our effort to try to win another championship for the city.
Well, Howie said it there. And Hugh, let me give you an example of when we've already seen this. I mean, we've seen a trade like this in the NFL. Hugh, remember when the Chiefs moved off of Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
To the Miami Dolphins?
Didn't miss a beat.
Like, the idea was, yeah, Tyreek Hill was a huge part of why they won a championship with Patrick Mahomes, but they said, we're looking at the future here. How do we win the next few Super Bowls?
Yeah.
And they said, We got to even this
thing
out.
They went out and got
Karlaftis. They had their first round picks the year after they traded Tyreek Hill were Trent McDuffie and Karlaftis. That, yes. They built the backbone of their next championship team by trading away Tyreek Hill. And look, I like AJ. I'm not trading him because I don't think he's that good. This is not like I think he's overrated. No, I think he's properly rated as a top 5 to 10 receiver in the game. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at it as I think this day is coming. Someone on this offense that's here now is not going to be here 2 years from now. They're going to move money to reimagine this team. So if I could do it for a special value, which is a top 5 pick, which is maybe Carter or Hunter, I'd rather do that than 2 years from now we're like, oh man, we got money problems.
Yeah.
We got to trade AJ for a third just to get off the I don't want to be there. I'd rather do it now, jump ahead of this. And the point you bring up, Hugh, about the idea of the locker room stuff, I mean, they won the Super Bowl, which is maybe means all things were fine, but it also took Brandon Graham whistleblowing, you know, a situation in that locker room. I mean, that was an entire day here at WIP for an entire week because of what he said about those two. There might be more to it. 215-592-9494. Would you trade A.J. Brown for a top 5 pick in the draft next week? Hugh and I are aligned on this one. We would. I think I know someone here that would not. Kyle, what are you feeling this morning? Would you trade A.J. for a top 5 pick?
So just first of all, thank goodness that it's Friday, because I'm going to need a beer after the show.
Yep.
Because I'm gonna have a massive headache.
A beer?
10, maybe.
You guys are
out of your minds.
Oh, come on now.
You want to trade our best offensive player for a guy who, I mean, let's say Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, whatever. We don't know who any of these guys are really going to be in the NFL. They are just prospects, right? Don't give me the crap about how they won last year. I don't care how they won last year. I want to win again next year. The page is turned, right? We're not going to be able to count on Saquon Barkley to do what he did again next season, especially if you get rid of A.J. Brown, by the way, who took away some attention from a guy like Saquon Barkley. I think the defense is going to take a little bit of a step back considering all the guys that they lost there. The Eagles next year, if they want to win and be competitive, they're going to have to throw the damn ball. I know they weren't good at it last year, but they're going to be even worse at it next year if you get rid of the wide receiver who they were 16-0 with when the starting quarterback played. There's so much evidence to suggest that this Eagles offense stinks without A.J. Brown. And I know they had Saquon last year, but they went to the Super Bowl as soon as they got A.J. Brown without Saquon Barkley. He's their best offensive weapon. We already lost so much on defense, and now you want to lose. Yeah, the defense is going to get worse next year, and now you want to make the offense worse next year. Abdul Carter might be a great player, but even Jalen Carter took a couple of years to come into his own and be the guy that he was. Like, if you get rid of your best offensive player and you get a guy in the top five who's going to be on your defense, Abdul Carter, they're just not going to be as good of a team next year. I mean, maybe I would see like 10 wins, 9 wins next year if you let all these guys on defense go and then your best offensive player. This whole idea is absolutely insane.
So I don't think it's insane. I know you're frustrated about it. I don't think it's insane. And so you said it's about winning the next one, right? It's not about what has happened. And you're kind of talking about the point of, well, they ran their way last year. They may have to throw their way this year. Well, guess what, guys? We don't know how AJ is going to look as he ages. The guy has had knee issues. I mean, remember the postseason last year? Did we forget how invisible he was for 3 of the 4 games? And it was, I don't think it was just because he was a decoy. He couldn't run much. 1 catch for 10 yards against the Packers. 2 catches for 14 against the Rams. That wasn't, he's being triple covered, prime AJ. He had a knee issue. In the Super Bowl, he had the touchdown, and he had 3 catches for 43 yards. In 3 of the 4 playoff games, he didn't look right. Now, maybe he had a knee sprain, and he's fine now, and that was just a small thing. I don't know. This guy's had knee issues a couple times in his career. I'd rather do this now. I'm telling you, they're going to do this 3 years from now anyway, or 2 years from now anyway. Someone on this offense won't be here. And if you just wait, you're not going to get much for that guy.
Why would you jump? Okay, so you're saying it might happen in 3 years. Wouldn't you rather have 3 years of your best offensive player? And I mean, like, if you end up getting 3 great years out of A.J. Brown,
maybe,
then why do I care if they end up losing him for nothing?
Because
like,
you're getting
3 years,
something
I don't
great
know what,
back.
I don't know what the Eagles are going to look like in 3 years.
Well, hold on.
I do know that they have a much better chance of winning next year with A.J. Brown on the team than no A.J. Brown, and a draft pick.
Sure, but they might get something special back. I mean, these players might be special. I mean, 2 days ago, the whole city told me Howie Roseman has figured out drafting. We'll give him a top five pick.
Well, I don't think he has.
Well, I know you don't. At least it's consistent. But everyone told me he's figured this out. Give him a top five draft pick. I mean, look, where have most of the Eagles' best players come from? Lane Johnson, Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith, look at Jalen Carter. They're blue chip players.
You're
blue
avoiding AJ Brown, who they traded for.
I know. But they used the first round pick to get him. But,
yeah.
But most of the best players in this team are blue chip talents. Mm. That's what Carter is, mm-hmm. Abdul. That's what Travis Hunter
that's
is.
What AJ Brown is.
Well, he was, but he
is.
Yeah. No,
he's
is.
Still one of the best receivers in the
sure.
league. Like you said, we might get something special back. You know who's special? AJ Brown.
Yeah,
he is special.
Last year, he didn't get the ball that much. I mean, let's be real. I mean, he didn't. I mean, he didn't have a special year.
I understand
last year.
That, but they're going to have to change that next year.
Yeah,
he's going to have to get the ball next year.
I just think it'd be incredible value. I don't want to give away AJ Brown. I'm not trading him away for a second round pick or third round pick. I'm not in the business of just giving away AJ Brown. I don't think you are either. I think we both see him as a similar player. He's
no,
great.
He's a phenomenal player. It's just the economics of the situation that we're in, Joe. And I think that a lot of times people can't see that. And that's why we're here. You know, we're here to try to give you a little insight of how this thing might go.
Class is in session
today.
Yeah,
I'm trying to teach y'all, man.
Professor Douglas is here.
Y'all don't want to listen to what
your brother, your boy. Aren't you defense is a luxury guy?
Yeah, I am. And
you want to get rid of our best offensive player?
Hold on. What if Travis Hunter said he could play both sides?
I don't even
know. What if he plays both ways?
First of all, I could be like, Travis Hunter, there's zero chance. Abdul Carter, 0.1% chance.
Oh, you mean being there?
I'm saying like in terms of if the Eagles had to deal AJ Brown and it was for one of the two players, I would much rather be Abdul Carter than Travis Hunter.
I would take both in a heartbeat.
I think there's a lot at play here when we even have this conversation or we even consider it. And I think the number one thing that I don't think people are looking at is the growth of Jalen Hurts. Now, I don't know if everybody believes that Jalen has grown to be the quarterback that you don't need to have a whole lot of talent around you. That still remains to be seen. But think about it like this, people, and I think this is where we need to be. If this conversation is being had, think about all the parameters in this that the Eagles are dealing with. Joe Banner came out about a month ago, right? Said that the Eagles might be in a little bit more cap trouble than you think.
Yep. And,
right?
and he understands that
and
situation
he,
better than we do.
Intimately more so than any of us. He understands that. The locker room dynamic has probably deteriorated to a point where they feel like, you know, maybe it is time to move on from AJ Brown. I'm just hypothetically saying this. I don't know this to be true.
Well, before you go
that
on.
That doesn't jive with me because they did just win the Super
right,
Bowl
but,
with whatever this
but,
locker room
but,
dynamic
but,
was.
Let's not forget one thing, though. He was upset to the point where Brandon Graham had to go on these airwaves and say these two need to talk in the best Eagles season mm-hmm. of all time.
And did it ruin the season?
No, but I think you're missing this. It's going to be choppier in other years, right? They're not going to win 14 straight weeks, right? Most years are a little choppier than last year. Mm-hmm. They didn't lose a game when they were at full strength mm-hmm. from September on.
And that's right, with
still,
AJ Brown.
But he was still annoyed.
The two games they lost that Jalen didn't play, AJ was out.
But like when you get insurance, it's not for when things are good, it's for when things are bad. And I think to you, I'm playing off of what you're saying. If I look at it and say, this is supposed to be our, I'll use an analogy. We do analogies here. If you're upset on your honeymoon, what are you going to do when Rocky times hit? Right? Like,
yeah.
That was a special year, and we still had issues. He's still reading the book, which I know we've spun
Man,
into a...
Man, mm-hmm. upset on the honeymoon.
But if they're upset in their best moment. So to Hugh's point, they may say, wait a second. Mm-hmm. He was annoyed at our best season ever. What's going to happen when we hit real turbulence?
Well, okay. I got a solution to that.
What?
Throw AJ the damn ball next year because you're going to have to.
Well, guess what? They won without throwing him the ball.
I know, but they're not going to be able to do it again.
All right. Go ahead, Hugh. You're finish your
point. Well, it's one of those things where I think as fans, we have to step back and look at, okay, realistically, why this might be a conversation.
Yes.
And that's kind of where I'm at with it. If it puts us in position to get an Abdul Carter, isn't that kind of what we wanted? Because we lost so much mm-hmm. on the defensive side of the ball, and it puts us in a position to get generational talent to put with another generational talent
and
that we already have.
Let's not forget, on with this conversation, we've done some mock drafts, our daily mocks, where they take a receiver at 32. We're not giving away the 32nd pick. This is AJ Mm-mm. for a top 10 pick, right? So they could take Carter, right, at four, whatever.
Yeah.
And they could take a wide receiver at 32 to replace A.J. Brown.
Because I'm looking at this, and I don't know how many wide receivers are mocked in the first round, But the last time we did our little evaluation, I didn't see a whole lot. So there's a good chance that you could get a good tight end. I mean, excuse me, a good receiver.
Yeah. Yep.
In a later round. So I think that a lot of times you just have to think outside the box just a little bit and wonder why this thing has legs, because this isn't the first time that we've heard any AJ name associated with any type of trade. This is not the first time we've heard that. And if there's a lot of interest for him, strike while the iron's hot.
Well, I think you bring up something really interesting there with the AJ, specifically AJ, because we all realize they have a cap issue, right? We've all realized they're spending a lot on the offense. You know whose name never comes up in this? Devontae Smith. It's the same principle. It's you subtract a receiver to reimagine the team in a different way. That never gets brought up.
Eagles will be a much worse offense if they trade A.J. Brown next year.
That's fine, but they might be ready for that. But
they'll be a different offense, but I think they'll still be effective.
They'll be worse.
But they could be a better team.
They're not going to. For a rookie?
They could
on
be.
On defense?
They could be.
If we trade A.J. Brown for Abdul Carter or whatever, I guarantee you they're not going to be as good of a team next year.
Why can't Abdul Carter be Jared Verse? Jared Verse came here in the playoff game and pushed Jordan Mailata around for 3 hours.
That's awesome. That's not a regular occurrence, though.
I know that. But
it's very rare that draft picks come in and make an immediate impact.
Sure, but you also don't usually get a player of this ilk.
I mean, we have a player. A.J. Brown is a player of this ilk.
For now. I mean, the Chiefs traded away Tyreek Hill and haven't missed a beat.
Yeah.
They have Patrick Mahomes.
Sure,
man.
They do. Yeah. But Jalen needs
A.J. Brown.
Right, that's why the conversation is, how do you feel about Jalen? Because
I think he needs A.J. Brown.
So there it is.
Well, but also, hold on. But Patrick Mahomes has been appreciably worse without Tyreek Hill. He's won more. But look at his numbers.
You're talking about his throwing numbers, passing numbers.
Their offense has been way worse without Tyreek Hill. They win more.
But they're not winning. They're not winning without Patrick Mahomes.
I don't care who.
You can tell me that their defense is better. It is. But without Mahomes, they're not the Chiefs.
But their football team is better.
But they're not where they are without Mahomes. It's a different story.
Well, fine. I can make the argument we're not where we are without Jalen.
I'd make an argument that we're not where we are more so because of AJ than Jalen.
Well, I would probably say more so. Jalen.
Guess what? They can win with Jalen. They have to have a big defense behind them. Like they don't know win with Jalen and wide receivers. They win with Jalen and defense.
I'm just warning you. You take AJ Brown away from Jalen, it's going to be a rude awakening.
All
for
right,
a lot of
215-592-9494. Where do you come down on the idea of trading AJ Brown for a top 5 pick? I would do it. I understand. And this isn't. I don't think AJ is good. I think he's very good. I think he's an excellent player. But I think the idea of reimagining the team, adding a star-level player, if Travis Hunter, who I love, and Abdul Carter, who I love, are on the board and the Eagles could trade into a pick to acquire one of those two, I would surrender A.J. Brown to do it. Hugh would do it for a top 5 pick.
Yeah, not so much Travis Hunter, though.
You're more Carter.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think this is my personal opinion. Yeah. I think with his demands and what he wants to do, he'd be more of a problem. Mm. then he would be more of a liability than an asset.
Yeah, I mean, who you want is the one thing, but would you do it for the top 5 pick? Kyle wouldn't, we would.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
So there's a story on Pro Football Talk, and I'm trying to, based on...
This is the Devontae for Jalen Ramsey thing?
Yes.
Okay, that was just an idea by a Yahoo Sports writer, not like a source thing.
By Corey Leibowitz, yes, sure. And they just wrote about it. That is not the story. Is somebody had an idea, the idea of trading Devontae Smith for Jalen Ramsey. Also very weird considering Jalen Ramsey didn't like Vic Fangio, whatever.
Vic Fangio may not have liked Jalen Ramsey,
yes. But here is the more interesting thing, per Howard Eskin. Interesting story on Eagles' trade of Devontae Smith. In many cases, I consider these reports social media fodder. However, I had heard A.J. Brown's name in some trade talks with the Eagles possibly moving into the top 10. Now, one thing we know about Howard is that when he is reporting on Eagles stuff, whether it happens or doesn't happen, it is usually pretty well sourced.
It's sourced, yeah.
And you don't even need it.
He prides himself on
yes,
that.
Yes, on that specifically.
Yes.
Now, you don't even need an Eagles source to know that this is true, is another thing. All you need is a source of a team that is in the top 10 who has had a conversation with the Eagles about trading for A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked weeks ago about, you know, just sort of threw it out there when the Patriots were dropping little AJ nuggets. Hey, would you trade the number one overall pick for AJ Brown? Blah, blah, blah. And we talked about it.
Yeah.
But look, what I would say is if he is reporting that there were talks for AJ Brown in the top 10, not necessarily that they would do it, then my gut tells me there were talks.
Yeah.
That is what my gut tells me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, we've talked for a while about can you continue to pay two wide receivers with a team that doesn't actually even throw the ball that much? Is with all of the money that they are paying on, or not paying now, but going to pay on defense, and if you are trying to build a more balanced, you know, roster, are you paying two wide receivers number one wide receiver money? And the idea of not only turning that wide receiver into a good player, which you think you would do with a top 10 pick, but you're talking about a cost-controlled player for the next 5 years,
right?
Which would help you in other things. I would just say this, and then Ike, you obviously the most important word on this. If they were to trade, I do not want them to trade A.J. Brown. If they were to trade A.J. Brown, we've had a lot of moves this offseason that would have been controversial had they not just won the Super Bowl.
this would be a controversial move even after the Super Bowl. And I believe this is one thing that I'm not talking about the validity of the trade itself. This is one thing that I believe would make fans say, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Like, there wouldn't just be, I trust Howie no matter what he does if they trade A.J. Brown right. for a pick in the top 10.
Right.
And I'm sure there will be a report within the next hour that says there's no truth to this.
Good.
That's fine. But, and for damage control purposes, that's fine. I just, when there's smoke, there's fire on something like this is what I would say. Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I would hope this isn't true. Meaning that I hope it doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
Yes.
Right.
I think it would be, I don't want to say it, but it would be a grave mistake because, listen, the Eagles are a great organization and we've lost great players and they know how to rebound and add players, whether they do it quickly or it eventually gets done. So I have confidence from that standpoint, but I just think it would be, man, unless something else is there that I don't know about, like A.J. Brown to me, A.J. Brown to me is a guy, and I understand the idea, we don't throw the ball great. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how we got through the 2024 season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can rely on that formula moving forward. Much as I love Saquon, I don't know how much we can rely on just running the football and not throwing it.
Rely on the best season of all time?
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. At what point in the top 10 does it start to become, there's a point, there has to be a point for you. Maybe you say no altogether all the way.
Well, you know the top teams aren't doing it. Meaning the top three or four teams aren't giving up the fourth pick.
No.
5-year control for a player that they need. Nobody up there. Wide receiver. Maybe if the Patriots. I guess the Patriots could.
It's probably the Patriots, right? That's where it starts at four?
At four.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm New England and I'm Robert Kraft, I'm not doing that. I just paid Stephon Diggs. I got the fourth pick in the draft. I got an opportunity to get a very good player there that I'm going to have that's young and under control on a rookie contract for the next 5 years. And New England isn't winning anything anytime soon.
What if Abdul Carter slips to four?
If I'm the Patriots, I take Abdul Carter.
If you're the Eagles. And Abdul Carter, let's say Hunter goes, Ward goes, and I don't think he's going to. But let's say the Giants take Shedeur Sanders, and Abdul Carter's sitting there at four.
I still don't do it.
No, Jack.
We'd think about it. Okay. I'd still say no.
I tell you, in my opinion, just off the top of my head, A.J. Brown's one of the 20 best football players in the NFL, regardless of the position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the number. I would say top 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're going up that high, if it's not Abdul Carter, who are you going for? Like, Ashton Jensen is probably a top 5 pick. What's the point of that?
You're not taking a running back.
Mason Graham is another D tackle.
Not taking a D tackle.
You know,
well, I mean, I guess you could take a D tackle.
You could. A tackle from Missouri, an offense, like, come on. A Georgia edge rusher, maybe? The Mykel Williams kid?
Unless you were telling me, okay, I'll put on my GM hat.
Yeah. Well, there it is.
Well, if you're telling me I'm getting Travis Hunter.
You love Travis Hunter.
I think. I would consider Travis Hunter.
Would you play him on both sides?
Yes.
Okay.
I would have to.
Do you think he's a better cornerback or wide receiver?
Corner.
Okay.
But the great thing about wide receiver in this league, the great thing about corner is that you don't have to be as precise, nor do you have to be as your usage rate isn't the same.
Yeah.
Right? At the cornerback position, as long as they're not throwing the ball to your guy.
Especially if you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're good, you're not giving up catches. You're good over there. But as a receiver, you need to touch the ball.
Yeah.
So I could see him playing wide receiver, but for me, his main position would be corner.
Okay.
It would be corner.
And you use him at wide receiver.
I would put 20 plays in a game that are Travis Hunter specialty plays. He's a guy I would do it for. I would think about doing it for because he can fill the receiver role for you. Not as well as an A.J. Brown would, but you're still getting a two-way player. The dynamic of having a two-way player would help me get over losing the best receiver we've had here since T.O.
And the question that has to be asked.
I need that caliber of a player.
Well, and I will ask the question, though I'm sure I'll get an angry tweet about it, is you also have to wonder – if they're willing to trade A.J. Brown, where how Jalen Hurts feels about A.J. Brown and A.J. Brown feels about Jalen Hurts factors into this. Because we just saw in Cincinnati the quarterback campaigning for his two wide receivers.
Basically demanding.
Yes. And I don't think they're running trades by Jalen Hurts. I don't think that's happening. But I don't know that you make a trade like this if you are sure that the quarterback is going to be furious
right.
that you're trading the wide receiver.
Right.
So it's less about get him out of here because of Jalen and more about Jalen doesn't care.
Right.
You know, so I don't know the relationship stuff with them. Who knows? But I think it certainly has to be. Look, even the Buffalo Bills get going away from Stephon Diggs because of the controversy with him and Josh Allen. And
they got the okay from Josh Allen.
Yeah, and going on to have Josh Allen going on to win the MVP the next year has to go through their mind at some point. I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah,
I've done the Jalen, Josh Allen arguments and have primarily been in Jalen's corner.
Right, right.
He's not the thrower that Josh Allen is.
No, yeah.
So you could do that with Josh Allen and not have the drop-off. And although Josh Allen may have had some sort of production drop-off in a passing standpoint, but it didn't stop them from being a good football team or from him being the MVP. To your point, before we move on from it, I don't necessarily believe they have to run it by Jalen to get his approval to trade him. But if they know the inner workings of the relationship and they feel it's a close relationship, there's no way you trade that guy without the quarterback knowing about it first.
I agree with you. I agree with you there.
And that's where I'm going to say Jalen has to be like, are you bleeping kidding me?
And that's the question. Would he? And that's we don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer to that.
And if that was the case, and then that those two, they feel like they have to separate it, I would trade Jalen first before I would trade A.J. Brown. But that's regardless. So,
and we didn't ask you that.
I know. Just want to make sure that's on record. Just want to make sure that is on the record.
We should get that to
make sure people know that he would trade Jalen before he would A.J.
We need to get that to A.J., by the way, that you said that.
215-592-9494. Yeah, right. Who would you trade first?
All right.
In the next 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Before leading off.
So the Phils... Just a little bomb that dropped in the middle of our one-hour show, by the
way.
Seriously. Are the Phils, is it just early, or are they cooked? 215-592-9494.
Real quick, before I tell you the most important thing that's going to happen this hour.
Yep.
You have to also factor in they're probably going to extend Jalen after next year. They're obviously going to extend Jalen Carter after next year. They're going to have to extend Nolan Smith after next year.
The money thing.
They're going to have to get money from somewhere.
Yeah.
And if it's
true.
I mean, it's two $25 million receivers. Unfortunately, it's going to have to be a part of the discussion. We all love these guys. They just won a Super Bowl. But it's going to be
Thank
a part
God
of the discussion.
They won the Super Bowl.
I know. Yeah. I know.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are 8 days away from the NFL Draft. Draft expert coming on to talk with us today and will again next week at the very same time, Wednesday at 4 o'clock, Mike Mayock. Mike, thank you again for joining us.
My pleasure. Great to be with you guys.
Can I say, Mike, and we talked a lot, we didn't talk very much Eagles specifically last week. We just talked about draft strategy, and we heard so much from people that really enjoyed the insight. So I just want to say your insight is valued, not just by us, by the people listening to the show.
Well, I appreciate that because it was hard-earned insight that got me fired.
Wow.
Well, look, man. Who among us?
Well, at least you can joke about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, let's talk some Eagles.
Let's talk some Eagles. So, you know, one guy they had in for, we want to get to some specifics at least up front. One guy they had, the Eagles had in as one of their draft visits is a guy that is projected to go ahead of where they're picking, but they have enough picks to potentially trade up, and that is Malachi Starks, safety. What have you seen out of him?
I'm a big fan of him, and the reason is, athletically, he's superior as a safety. He can drop down on the slot, play man-to-man. He can play nickel. He tackles, gets guys on the ground. I think he is a first-round safety talent. I think the Eagles would like him because of the scheme versatility. However, historically, the Eagles don't draft a safety, so I would say the odds, if he was there at 32, I would be salivating, but I still would question whether or not the Eagles would want to go there.
Yeah, and they've, you know, the only interesting thing is, and Ike was saying this last segment, is the Eagles historically don't pay running backs and don't pay linebackers. And we've seen at least a change in that, at least. Yeah. So I guess we've been, and they haven't had much success taking cornerbacks, and that changed. So I guess for the Eagles, we're all just waiting for what the next surprise is in terms of, you know, their next move, and the next move being the draft.
Yeah, and that's all fair. I think Ike makes a great point. I think the Eagles have always been ahead of the curve, and it's kind of funny because you look at the last 4 or 5 years, everywhere around the league, it's been a pass-first league, heavy pass. Defenses have gotten smaller and quicker as a way to compensate against the pass game. And what do the Eagles do? They're the first team in several years that runs the ball more than 50% of the time.
Right.
They win the Super Bowl. So it's really intriguing.
We're looking at these different players, right, Mike? Last week we talked a lot about some of the edge rushers, some of the interior guys. Tight end wise, we're starting to hear the Eagles could possibly be interested in a tight end. It's supposed to be a deep draft for the tight ends. Jason Taylor's kid, supposed to be a guy who's a first round talent and could be available at the back end. I'm just running from a GM's perspective. If the talent is there, Mike, how much does that weigh against prioritizing a position? Right. In other words, if the talent is there at the position of tight end, this is a guy that we know is a first round talent, but you don't usually draft tight ends in the first round or what have you. Do you bypass that and just say the talent is just too good to pass up?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because every year I do a rolling 5-year average of players that get drafted at each position, and the tight end position over the last 5 years. There's been an average of 0.60 that go in the first round. In other words, there have been 3 first-round tight ends in the last 5 years. Mm. And they were Brock Bowers, Dalton Kincaid, and Kyle Pitts. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, historically, we haven't drafted a lot in the first round. However, in this year's case, I would tell you right now, point blank, every GM has in their back pocket, especially when you're picking late in a particular round, you've got to have a guy in your back pocket or two that you know is going to be there if your board gets obliterated at other positions, okay? Mm-hmm. So we can talk about edge and defensive tackle and corner all we want, but if Howie's board gets blown up, he needs a legitimate guy at 32, and I would tell you 2 tight ends are going to be gone, but the guy you brought up, Mason Taylor, I don't think is going in the first round, okay. And I think he has big-time first-round ability. And I did a bunch of his tape. I mean, this guy is really, really interesting. He doesn't even turn 21 years old until May. Mm. Not only is he Jason Taylor's son, his uncle is Zach Thomas, another Hall of Famer. Mm. Okay, so he's got an uncle and a father in the NFL Hall of Fame. He's 6'5", 255. He's a 3-year starter coming out of the SEC, and he never blinked. I mean, as a freshman, he caught the game-winning pass against Alabama in the corner of the end zone, big time catch. You know, the kid was barely 18 years old. He makes a play like that. He doesn't get a whole lot of love, and I'm not sure why. He can run at all three levels. He can get vertical. He's got really good hands. He runs good routes. What kind of blocker is he? He's a good blocker. He's not a great blocker. He's tough enough. I think he can be a full-time starter at the wide position, a three-down starter. He can put his hand in the dirt and block, or he can move out wide. I really like this kid, and I think he's one of the guys how he's got in his back pocket.
Can I ask a stupid question? Run at three levels. What are those three levels? I assume horizontally, vertically. I can't. I don't know what the other one is.
You're one for two.
Oh, well. Okay.
They're all vertical. It's just effectively level number one from the line of scrimmage is up to about 9 yards. Level two might be 10 to 17 or 18, and level three is pure vertical.
Well, Mike, one thing you'll learn about me, I'm not going to stand here and act like I know something if I don't know it. And I sort of figure if I don't know, somebody else doesn't know. So I had to ask. Okay. I have a two-part question about a player that we've heard about here in Philadelphia at a position of need as edge. So the first is just about the player. And then the second one, I guess, is more of a drafting philosophy about other stuff. And that is Mike Green from Marshall. So Mike Green from Marshall, as the player, what have you seen out of him?
Dominated at his level of play, went to the Senior Bowl, dominated again, showed, I stood there and watched the O-line D-line down in Mobile about 10 feet away from where they're going at it. He had better bend than I thought he had, a little better quickness and takeoff than I thought he had, which is why it's good to see people in person as well as tape. I was impressed with him at the Senior Bowl, and I went there kind of saying off tape, kind of maybe a late one, but I saw more as kind of a mid two. And I came out of the Senior Bowl going, hey, he's a really good football player, and I think he's going to go somewhere in that 18 to 28 range.
And then I guess less about him, because we don't, none of us, I don't think, know the specifics about him, but more generally, there's a couple of things in his past with a couple of accusations in his past that might make teams, I guess, wary about what do we do with this guy. When you're scouting a player who has things, questionable things in their past, what do you as a GM do to learn about that person and try to fill that out and decide whether it's risk, worth the risk, or how do you do that? How do you weigh that?
Yeah, you kind of have to get past just the 30 minute or 20 some minute interview at the combine, even the 30 visit in your building where you get a full day with him. You've got to get way beyond that. Every team in the league has security, mm-hmm. okay? And security might be, for one team, walking the coach on the field and keeping them safe. On another team, it might be doing a deep dive on background on individuals, and there are multiple people on each team that do that. So it's about literally getting boots on the ground at Marshall and checking on, trying to get all the information you can on any Title IX issues, mm-hmm. Talking to any policeman involved with any incidents, doing a real deep dive and paying sometimes an outside consultant to help you do that. I think the Eagles are blessed with Big Dom, who can do a lot of that also. He can help spearhead some of that. So it's really critical to get as much information as you can get on a kid, because that's also often where your owner comes into play and wants to know about, hey, you're going to take a kid with a first-round pick, and is it going to come back and hurt our organization and me? I want to know about it. I want to know exactly what you have on the kid and what you don't. So you got to do a deep dive on these kids, and it goes way beyond just shaking their hands and saying hi and looking them in the eye and say, hey, why did you do that?
Man, it is such a intriguing sort of process, man, because I know – Mike, going back a couple years ago when the Eagles were fortunate enough to get Jalen Carter, coming out in that draft, a lot of people felt like he was the most talented player in the draft, but he had some red flags there, I guess, and some teams didn't want to take that chance, and the Eagles do. And the guy has pretty much been a model citizen since he's been in the league. And, man, he's arguably, outside of Chris Jones, I don't know if there's a better defensive tackle in football that has the ceiling that Jalen Carter has. So I guess just like you said, doing your homework, making sure you vet the situation. You know, I think about that with Green, because you know the talent is there, and you wonder how many teams will be like, you know what, I can't pass on this guy. We passed on a guy like Jalen last time. And how far do you think the Eagles would have to move up to get this kid, Green, if they want a legitimate shot at him?
Let's just finish the last piece of that conversation, which to me, you asked me as a GM, you've got to have, if you're going to draft that kid, and this is where the Eagles are so good, if you're going to draft Jalen Carter, you've got to have the infrastructure and the plan to back it up. Mm. And the higher you plan to take a kid, the more of your resources in the building you have to apply towards that. So if you're going to take a kid with off-the-field issues in the first or second round, you know that you're going to have a bunch of people in your building involved with making sure this young man is not only doing things right and staying out of trouble, but you're trying to help him and giving him the resources to become a good person in your community.
Yeah.
Okay? And you got to have a plan for that kid. And I think the Eagles are outstanding at that. Now, as far as, you know, trying to move up in the first round to get a Mike Green, you know, potentially, you could ask me the same question about Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle.
Okay.
Because he's got issues off the field also. And he's a guy that's supremely talented defensive tackle. And he's got a bunch of ability, and he might be staring the Eagles right in the face at 32 because of some of his off-the-field stuff.
Yeah.
So once you qualify what those things are, make sure you have a plan for it. The next question is, you know, do you want to move up to get a kid with off-the-field issues?
Yeah.
Do you want to use draft capital to go do that? I would tell you that I think it makes more sense. And it was one thing to move from 10 to 9 to get Jalen.
Sure. Right? Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's another thing to go from 32 to 25 and give up a bunch of draft capital. But I think out of those two kids, I think Walter Nolan's more talented inside. He's got real, real talent inside. So I think you got to ask the question of both those guys, would it be worth it to move up? And if so, we only have 8 picks. 4 of them are in the 5th round.
Yeah.
You know, are we willing to give up a day 2 pick to go get him?
All right, Mike. Great insight. Again,
good stuff
we
again.
Appreciate you. We will talk to you a week from today, same time, day before the NFL draft. Thanks again, man.
Appreciate it, Mike.
That went fast. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike. There he is, Mike Mayock.
Well, that did go pretty fast. I looked up at the clock, too. I'm like, oh, it's already at 13.
Yeah, well, the Mayock's great.
Good stuff,
on the draft.
Man, yeah.
This is, by the way.
The more he's talking, I'm sitting there. He got me thinking
while
he's talking.
Well, you were like, I want Mike Green. Yeah. Well, the thing. This is why Howie stepped in it in that McShay podcast, because now what I always think about with this, with taking these guys or even signing a free agent who has this stuff, is the owner's going to look you in the face and say, if first of all, you're going to have to answer questions about this tomorrow. Yeah. And second of all, if something happens again, it is your ass that is going to be on that dais at the press conference, and they're going to say, you said you did all this work, and here it is. Are you willing to take the risk? Are you putting your career in the hands of that kid? And I think Howie, and he backed off it yesterday to a certain extent, but he set himself up for now. If Mike Green drops it, look, Mayock gave him, basically said this guy's a monster on the field, is basically what he said. So he drops to 26, and they're in position to move up and get him. And now this becomes an even bigger story than it would have been had they done it before because of what he said 2 weeks ago. And look, if they think it's the right guy and they think both personally and professionally, they'll go ahead and do it. It's just like, it was a bit of an own goal there saying that because it set them up.
So, I mean, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So if they were to do this, I'm just envisioning how he would in turn explain it.
Right.
Because you're right. He's going to get asked, how will you say it a few weeks ago, this and any other. I would imagine they will explain it in a way that they've done their homework.
Yep.
They trust the people that they've talked to. They made sort of tough decisions in the past with certain players. Mike talked about the infrastructure and the culture being great. They would sort of sell that part of it, I would imagine.
Sure.
And just, I totally understand what you're saying. And they realize that too now.
Well, yeah.
Believe me.
Because these things that you're saying, they were going to have to do it anyway.
Yep.
But now they're going to get,
but you said, yes.
You know.
They're going to get the whole but you said.
And yep. Unfortunately for without knowing what he did or didn't mm-hmm. do, in now it puts an even bigger spotlight on that stuff.
On that stuff
because yep. of what he said in the first place. Don't go on podcasts. Just come on our show. All right.
Well, again, it wasn't taken out of context.
Yeah, well, and it was not taken out of context at all.
Well, no, that was the best part.
Well, no, you know
it
what
was
happens?
So good.
What happens on podcasts is when Howie comes on with us, Howie is.
He's got his guard up a little bit.
He knows what it is.
Yeah.
He's guarded. You get in there on a podcast, we're not breaking. It's not
right.
just
it's
10
just free
minutes.
Flowing.
You're just hanging out and you don't feel like it's going anywhere.
Well, and he's talked to. That was McShay's podcast. Like, he's talked to McShay for what, 15 years?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Looking forward to the draft, which is in 6 days. Obviously, the Phils start up another series tonight. Speaking of the draft, let's listen to the Diddy. Ray Dittinger talked. I can't remember if this was last week or this week. I think it was last week.
It was last week, yeah.
Bunch of stuff related to the draft, including what Ray thinks Howie's main focus should be with this draft. Let's listen to what Ray said. What is your sense of the biggest area of need for this football team?
I would say edge rusher. I would say edge rusher. Safety is, you know, I would like to go get a safety too. And you obviously want to fortify your offensive line. And the good news is there's some good players there in all of those areas. So that's good. But I think edge rusher. I really do.
Elliot, can you let me ask a question I haven't asked you all the times we've. And Elliot, by the way, in for Richie today. John will be back on Tuesday, taking some time off, which is great. Has some fun with his family. Elliot, all the questions I've asked you over the last couple weeks about the draft, I haven't asked you this one. Is there a player that you sense at one of these positions, safety, offensive line, defensive line, edge rusher, that they shouldn't take?
Yeah, so for me, that would be Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle out of Ohio State. For those that don't know, he – had he not been injured last year, and I believe it was a knee injury, if I'm not mistaken, but had he not been injured, he probably is a top 10 pick in this draft, and he's maybe the first tackle off the board. So I do understand the value of if he falls to 32, selecting him. I just hate the idea of drafting a rookie that doesn't have a place to start his rookie year.
That was Andre Dillard, if you remember.
Right.
He did that with Dillard in 2019, and it felt like his career never got going.
No.
Now, maybe it never would have. But just sitting
was weird. Yeah, I think they
weird.
Missed him on him for a few reasons.
Because other positions, you can play players. Running back, you can get
exactly,
him in.
You can shuffle
cornerback,
him in
he might
yep.
be your fourth corner, your third corner. I mean, offensive line, if he doesn't start, you don't play.
Well, and also, we keep doing the draft lane's replacement. Lane keeps playing. So, you know, like, look, if they think Josh Simmons can play guard, then maybe there's a little more of an argument there. But they have Kenyon Green, who I know has not played well, but they did acquire him, and they have Tyler Steen. So the only pick out of the guys that I think are a possibility, the only one I really wouldn't like would be Josh Simmons.
Okay. We got some good audio for you coming up next segment, by the way. Some of the classic moments when the Eagles have picked a player and either Howie or Sirianni is on the phone call with the recent addition and how that exchange went. We'll get to that coming up in about 20 minutes. You're going to love it because you'll recognize some of it. You'll remember some of these. Some of them I don't think you will, and it's some good audio. We'll get to that around 8:20 today. Let's listen to more of the Diddy. Ray Dittinger with us last week talking about that there really are a lot of players available at positions where the Eagles need help.
Defensive tackle, could you use one of those? Yeah, you could, because Milton Williams came on and was a real force by the end of the year. But right now, first of all, I'm thinking edge rushers. And the good thing is, if we're going to be talking about those two areas, edge rushers and interior defensive linemen. Man, there are a ton of them in this draft. And I counted it up. Out of my top 50 players that I have in this total draft, 18.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot.
18 of my top 50 players
yep.
are either edge rushers or interior defensive linemen. That's how strong this draft is at the top of the talent level.
Now, one of the points just to put out there that has been made by many, and it's a point worth restating, you know, the Eagles don't have to take a D lineman, for instance, D tackle, edge rusher in the first round if they feel like they can get a good one in the second round. Because to Ray's point, if there's that many of them, some of them should be around in the second round. So maybe the first round is the safety or the tight end or, you know. Elliot, let me ask you this, and then we'll get right back to phones. Because, you know, normally in a draft, there's a player perceived to go 5 to 10 picks in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the gift if he falls to you. Jalen Carter was that example 2 years ago. I mean, there really weren't, you know, 10 full picks in front of the Eagles. But the idea of Jalen Carter dropping down to where he did at 9 was a bit of a gift. And it was unique. It was circumstantial. We all understand that reality. Do you have a player in mind that we really haven't talked much about with the Eagles, but, man, if he falls near them, could be the guy to go try to go get?
Yeah, so can I give you two?
Yeah.
One would be Colston Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan. I think they would like to draft a tight end, and I think if he were to fall to them, then he would be an option. They're 32, athletic, pass catcher. He could be their, like, number one tight end. The other one, and the name I don't think we've discussed enough, is Donovan Ezeraku out of Boston College. Local
and
guy.
Local kid, right?
Local kid. Came in for a visit, only 21 years old, had a ton of sack production last year. I think that, you know, he's projected to go like late teens, early 20s. So if he falls to them at 32, I think he's the guy that would be like, and then you could argue Walter Nolan, but it's so hard to read on where he'll go.
Yeah.
I think Ezeraku's the guy that could fall to them.
And they love him, like his leadership. Like
Donovan,
you're talking.
Well, he reminds me a lot of Brandon Graham.
That's what I was reading.
So yeah. I think he would be a great pick for them.
All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phones. Your reaction to the Phils from yesterday. Obviously, Sanchez the main dude yesterday. Wheeler gets the ball tonight. Let's hope a bounce back from Zach Wheeler. He's been the Phillies' best pitcher for a long time, and I think is one of the Phillies' great pitchers of all time. But his start this year, you know, after initially being strong out of the gate, I think it's the last – is it, James, the last two starts?
Last two, yeah.
Yeah, not as good the last two. So
and
it,
to be fair, the defense hasn't helped him out and whatnot. Remember in Atlanta, you know, they give him the extra play with the Sosa Rojas play, and all, then the homer gets hit.
James,
not
true,
an excuse,
true,
but he hasn't
false.
Been helped out.
True or false, the Phillies would be a stronger team with 8 players defensively instead of 9, including Trey Turner.
Man.
Just leave a big hole at shortstop. I mean, here's the good news. You at least can't commit an error. If there's no one there, there's no air.
It's true.
He is not a good
will,
defender.
In Trey Turner's defense, aside from last night's he has improved a bit from last season.
I don't think so.
Rob Thompson said it last night after the game.
I don't care what Rob Thompson says.
Oh, my God, you guys.
He has
Philly's
not.
Insider Rob over here Thompson is far too supportive of his players in public.
Yeah, and look, he is sliding backwards. Devin, what was the vibe in the clubhouse? Not to use the term we kept using last year, but they get that win yesterday. What was it like in there afterwards?
Still very, I mean, JT was the only one who spoke and still very,
nice.
I know, love that. You know, we know that we can do better feel. And JT basically alluded to that in his comments after the game. Like they have the same record as they had, you know, at this time last season, and it's not enough. They know that they're not performing, you know, in any area, in the bullpen and starting rotation, and especially on offense. You know, you just mentioned Rob Thompson, and yeah, he's going to have his guys' backs, but he did say before the game, you know, out of all the aspects of the team that are frustrating to him, the offense is the most. And he just keeps preaching, you know, have patience. It's a long season, and our bats will get going. They just haven't fully gotten there yet.
I'm going to give you a playoff prediction right now, because I do think they make it, but it's certainly no guarantee they make it. I'm going to give you a playoff prediction right now. It hit me yesterday during the game.
Mm-hmm.
First game in October, and for October, JT bats 8th.
Wow.
Yeah. He's going to be the 8-hole hitter by the end of the year.
Why do you say that?
Because he's just really sliding backwards. And I think whatever combination of players to play, and it could even be a guy like Sosa. Like, I think Boehm over the long haul would be better than JT. I think Stott over the long haul would be better than JT.
I'm like, right there with you, John.
To me, the Marsh or Rojas guy, whoever gets a start, or theoretically Crawford if it's him in the playoffs, that's my 9-hole hitter. JT's my 8, and some combination of the Keplers and the Stotts
100%.
And the Casties, they're all going to be in front of JT by the end.
JT's not a good hitter.
Do you think Crawford will come up this year?
I hope so.
Is that
the expectation? He's 21 years old. He's batting 250 in AAA. Like he,
People got to calm down on him.
Thank you, Joe. That's what I'm saying. Like people have to relax on the Justin Crawford thing. I love him. I love him as a prospect
because of Marcin Rojas.
He is not ready for the major leagues today. Right now,
I'm glad you're saying this, James, because people need to hear it.
Well, you just mentioned he might start in the playoffs.
Well, he might, but that's 5 months from now.
Yeah,
you're talking out of both sides of your hiney.
Elliot, there's people saying call him up this week.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I would hope he doesn't get called up a week before the playoffs and starts.
No,
like,
I'm
if he's
not
gonna start
talking
in the
about
playoffs.
Later in the season.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking.
But people are bringing
it up.
But people are bringing it up because they're in a bad mood on Rojas and Marsh.
Because the games are televised, Joe.
Well, no, I agree. I mean, Marsh and Rojas are brutal.
That's how bad it is.
But back to my point.
Like, I think
JTZ.
Justin Crawford would look JTZ. A lot like those guys if you brought him up today.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Let's go to the phones. A lot to chew on here. The draft next week, the Phil's the whole deal. Do you agree with Elliot's premise? The Eagles playing with some fire as they shift philosophies a bit. We're broadcasting from Borgata today. JP in Plymouth Meeting. JP, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
What's up, JP?
I got to give a shout-out to my boy Mike and his daughter. He took his daughter to her first Phillies game yesterday. And I said, man, I hope it's better than yesterday's game. And they got a good game. So good job on the Phillies.
There you go. Good luck, Charm.
Yeah, good luck. I said, yo, you need to take your daughter to more games. I agree with Ray Dittinger. I believe, and I've been saying this since the end of the season, even in the Super Bowl, I'm like, they need to get an edge rusher. And I didn't do the homework that Ray Dittinger did, but God bless him, man. He's amazing. 15 out of the top 50 draft players are like edge rushers. They really should go edge rusher.
I think he said 18.
I think he was doing edge and
defensive
tackle.
Oh, you're right.
No, he was saying edge and tackle. Yeah, to be fair, JP. But let me put it this way. I'll be surprised if one of the first two picks is not an edge or a D tackle.
I don't think that need at edge is as great as maybe you guys are making it out to be. I agree that at 32, they could probably select an edge, and you could always use an edge. But Nolan Smith is going to start and I think has a high ceiling. Jalix Hunt, this is projection. I'm very high on him. I really like the Azeez Ojulari signing. So while I think that they need one, like they need a safety. Like they have nobody at safety right now, in my opinion. Obviously besides Reed. I'm talking about the other spot. Like at edge, I think there's intriguing young players. I don't think they have that at safety.
I agree, but I'll say this, and this I'm going to go back to Marcus Smith. Can't reach.
No,
I agree.
Just
with
because
that,
you
sure.
need the position,
I agree
and they've
with
never
that.
Drafted that position.
But right? at 32, yeah. I think like Malachi Starks is in that discussion. I
of
think
course.
Nick Eamonworthy out of South Carolina is in the discussion. Like I think there will be really good prospects, arguably better than edge prospects in the late 20s than there will be
sure.
if you're drafting.
Yesterday, aside from just the Phillies game, I was listening in to Howie Roseman and the NFL draft, pre-draft, whatever they call it. They do a press conference where they kind of vague, but they give you some hints and they ask questions. But it just kind of it brings you to reality of where they're at. They're 8 days away from the NFL draft. And he was interesting. I was driving in this morning and I heard Joe DeCamera talking about the mentality of the fan base when it comes to the Eagles and Howie and this trust, this total trust of the Eagles as we enter this part of the offseason, right? It was a lot of trust in free agency, even though they lost a lot of good football players. Mm-hmm. And now we have this trust entering the draft. And I as we get closer to it, I don't know who they're going to pick at 32. None of us do. The 32nd pick's hard to guess. But here's what I could tell you. There's been, I get this feeling, I get this sense, Hugh, in the city right now, that people are convinced the Eagles have figured out the NFL draft. There was a time where everyone said the Eagles, they overthink it. Howie overthinks it. They take the wrong player. They make too many mistakes, right? Whether it was Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson or you could find five other mistakes they made over the years. And mm-hmm. the last 4 years, it's been the opposite. They've hit a lot of really good draft picks. I'm looking at their drafts right now the last 4 years. Devontae, Dickerson, Milton Williams, Davis, Juergens, Dean, Carter, Nolan Smith, Quinion, Cooper. I mean, it's been excellent drafting top of the draft. But I just want to say today, I am a Howie Roseman guy. I believe in Howie. He's a great executive. But nobody's this good. And I'll say it in terms of, like, if you're watching a hitter and they hit home runs in five straight games, they're probably not going to hit a home run in the sixth and the seventh and the eighth, regardless of how great of a hitter they are. If you're watching a great shooter in the NBA and they're on a heater, and they hit 70% of their threes, and 70% of their threes, and 80% of their threes. Well, the next time, they're probably not going to do that again. It's the reality of the draft. So, we're 8 days away. I'm curious where everyone's at. 215-592-9494. Are you convinced the Eagles have figured out the NFL draft? I am not. I am convinced they've gotten better at it, and they've mastered some parts of what they've done here. But I'm not expecting or anticipating a draft like last year or the year before, because quite frankly, I believe some of this is just luck. That's not all skill. Like last year, for example, Quinyon Mitchell fell to the 22nd pick in the NFL draft. He was the top corner by everyone's board. And he fell to 22, and the Eagles made a great decision to stay there. And then Cooper DeJean, every single expert we had on, every single time we brought him up last year, we all said, he's a first-round pick. And then he was there for them to trade up and grab at 40. Great decision by Howie, and a great move. But it doesn't happen if he's taken at 26, where he probably should have been taken. So I'm not convinced the Eagles have figured out drafting. I think they've gotten better at it. But there's this assumption they're going to knock this draft out of the park. I hope they do. But again, no shooter hits every shot. No great hitter hits a home run every day. I think at some point this comes back to the mean. And I hope it's not this year. But I'm just saying, I'm not convinced we are now the best drafting team. No doubt about it. We got it. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Here are you convinced the Eagles have figured out the draft?
It seems like this has turned into Hugh Douglas's long talking segment because I feel like
it really is.
I have to kind of set it up a little bit so people can understand where I'm coming from.
Okay.
You asked the question, do I think the Eagles have figured out the draft?
Yeah.
I think the Eagles have figured out how to identify the personnel that they need in order to have success. And the reason why I say that is this. I look at some of the scouts. One of the things that I noticed when I got back to Philadelphia, Chris Naoli is one of the scouts that they have. He's an international scout. And he's a guy that I played with in Jacksonville. Chris played a long time in the NFL, and I know him fairly well because he was my teammate in Jacksonville. And I look at some of the other scouts that they have on their roster, like Jared Kilborn, Chris Naoli, Rob Streeter, Matt Holland. A lot of these guys that I'm mentioning have some type of NFL experience, have some type of, you know, dealings inside the NFL, the intricacies of the game. And I think that what Howie has done, he's put together a brain trust. And they've put together, they have a template of the type of players that they want for their football team. And they've put people around them that they can bounce ideas off of and have different people chime in on certain individuals. And they've amassed a bunch of smart young players that they can plug and play and have the success that they've had over the years. I think that's what the Eagles have done. So I guess to answer your question, have they mastered the draft? In a sense, yes, because they've identified who they want or who they think can fit into their system and fit in seamlessly and implement whatever it is they want to implement. Because here's the thing, Joe, one thing that jumps out to me, and it might be a small thing, but the players that they drafted, the Cooper DeJeans, the Quinyon Mitchells, it feels like in a small sampling size that they've locked in a way that most rookies don't. I remember my rookie year way back when. I was too busy trying to run the streets and be in New York and figure out New York as opposed to being in my playbook and learning my plays. It feels like these guys are locked into their job, they're professionals, and they take what they do very serious. Because you look at both of their rookie years. A lot of times we always hear stuff about the rookie wall.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have no rookie wall. They didn't have no rookie wall that they ran into. They didn't have that. They played seamlessly, and it felt like as the season progressed, they got better.
You can make a case they did. I mean, yeah. look at Cooper in the Super Bowl making that play. And look, those were great draft picks. And I won't be surprised if the Eagles make another couple really good draft picks. It's just they're on a heater right now.
Note to self, can't talk too long because then you start messing
up. Yeah, well, put that alarm in there for 10:10 every morning. All right. But no one, my point is nobody's this good at the draft. It's not a Howie's not this good or the Eagles aren't this good. Nobody's this good. They are on a heater right now. And look, you can make a case to me today. They're going to do it again, right? Maybe the heater will. You know, I made the comparison. Typically, if a guy hits a home run in four straight games, he doesn't hit it in the fifth, right? Like eventually, the hot streak
but
runs out.
But if he gets you a grounder, or if he hits a bunt and keeps that hitting streak going,
yeah, hitting streak could keep going. Yeah. I just there's been a sense the last month, like yeah, they lost a lot, but we got the draft. They got this figured out. I'm not sure about that. 215-592-9494. I mean, I mentioned the word luck. Let's go back 2 years ago. Now, Howie made a great move to short the Saints and get a first-round pick from them into the future.
He did short
the Saints. And that turned into the ninth pick in the draft, which, of course, became Jalen Carter. But, guys, If the Las Vegas Raiders select Jalen Carter at 7, which, I don't know, maybe if he didn't have some off-the-field issues, he would have been that pick, or he would have been the first pick, or whatever, then maybe we have Tyree Wilson, who has started 4 games in 2 years. Like, part of it is these players have fallen to them, and they've been smart enough to take them. 215-592-9490. I was here from Howie yesterday talking about the draft coming up next week, and he does throw the word luck in here as he talks about the grades they have for this year's class.
The way we go into looking in the draft is we always take worst-case scenario and work back from that. And we got to be really comfortable with whatever is our worst-case scenario, which will always entail getting a good player. There's never 32 first-round grades on our board. We don't have 32 first-round grades in this draft. So obviously, it depends on how things go. You go through a lot of hypotheticals. You try to put yourself in any possible position so that you're ready to execute. Just even looking at last year, you know, the guys that we thought were most realistic being available at 22, we feel like we got fortunate to get one of the guys that we didn't have in a lot of the scenarios. So, luck plays a part in it. Obviously, everyone's looking at things differently. Everyone has a different vision for what they're looking for their team. Everyone has a different vision for the particular players that they're looking at. And you just hope that, kind of makes sense for your football team.
All right, Howie also speaking about what he's learned, what he has to do, is they have the 32nd pick here. Howie, on his approach next week when he gets on the board.
You have to be patient, one. You have to allow things to come to you. The chances that you're trading up into the top 10, top 15, top 20 are slim. That's hard to do. So you have to really kind of understand the strengths of the draft. You have to spend a lot of time being realistic about who do you think you have an opportunity to get so you can spend a lot of time with them.
Howie Roseman yesterday on all that. 215-592-9494. Are you convinced the Eagles have figured out the NFL draft? There seems to be a feeling that they have. A lot of people believe that they figure this thing out and they're going to keep rolling with these great draft picks. Look, Howie's really good, and he's always been really good. He's gotten better as time has gone on at a lot of things. But I'm just not convinced we're going to keep hitting draft picks the way we have the last few years. It feels like an almost unsustainable run of just fire. I mean, their top two picks in each of the last few years have been, in 4 years in a row, their top two picks, Dickerson, Devontae, Jordan Davis, Cam Jurgens, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. I mean, that is an all-time run. I don't anticipate it being that great for much longer. Kyle, where do you come down on Howie, the draft, and if they've really figured this thing out?
Unfortunately, people probably aren't going to like me a lot today. I'm going to call some people out. But nobody should be convinced that anyone has figured out the NFL draft. It's the NFL draft. Like you said, like Howie said, there's always a lot of luck involved. I like the way things are trending. And I'm a huge Howie guy. But the Super Bowl syndrome, is wearing me down. To say I trust Howie is one thing, but the whole, like, the fans who say, you know, whatever the Eagles do, I'm good with. You're mailing it in. Mailing it in. I don't know what happened to my city, my fan base, but we should always be holding the Eagles to the highest of standards. It's why the Eagles, I think, are as good as they are right now, because this fan base has always held them accountable. And when you're an I don't care, whatever type of fan base, you get a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't know.
It's a shot at you.
It's a shot at me.
No. You were a Jag.
I wasn't drafted by the Jags.
You were a Jag, though. You went there that voluntarily.
That don't count. Mm-hmm. It counts. We cannot be this fan base. Please don't be this fan base. Like, give me an opinion on what you think the Eagles should do and what you think they shouldn't do.
See, Kyle talking. He ain't talking to us. He talked to the callers.
Everybody.
And
you too.
What do you mean?
You have the Super Bowl syndrome more than almost anybody.
No. You have it on a daily basis.
No. I'm tired of it.
No, I have a unique perspective. Uh-huh.
Annoying perspective.
No, it's annoying because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
No, I hear what you have to say all
you
the time.
And you don't like it.
That's okay.
Because the truth, you don't like the truth. You don't like the truth.
I also think it's worth noting, along with Hugh's Super Bowl syndrome and a lot of people share. Mm-hmm.
Hugh's, we're seriously
talking? Yeah. The best executives in sports, once they figure something out, everyone starts to copy them. So the advantage they have goes away. Like Theo Epstein was the best, right? He turned the Red Sox around, turned the Cubs around. What happened at the end of the Cubs and Red Sox with him? Well, team started picking up. Billy Beane had a run where he was smarter than everyone. Then everyone was like, I'm just going to do what Billy Beane does. And they started to copy. I'm not saying Howie's smart enough to jump ahead of the next curve. But At some point, like, because I know what people are going to say today. Joe, when he started drafting out of the SEC, he started, mm-hmm. well, guess oh, what?
Yeah. Awesome.
That's not like the novel concept. Right. Anyone could take an SEC player.
I think if you said to Howie, have you figured out the NFL draft, he'd laugh at you.
He would say no.
He knows it's not an exact science. Like, need I remind everybody, there was a sign across the Schuylkill.
Right over there.
That said, fire Howie Roseman. And really, up until, I mean, look, there were a lot of people that had questions about Nolan Smith. Nolan mm-hmm. Smith looks like he's turning into a pretty good player.
Oh, yeah.
But right up until, like, I guess the Jordan Davis stuff, everybody had questions about Howie Roseman and the Eagles in the draft. Like, yeah. It's the NFL draft, people. Get the syndrome out of your brains. You're mailing it in as Eagles fans.
I don't think that's the case.
Mailing it in, Hugh.
I don't think that's the case. I had the privilege of being here when Jeffrey Lurie, like a year or two after he bought the team. And I can tell you, that first couple years I was here, I can say with confidence, they had no clue about what they were doing. Mm-hmm. They were throwing darts against the board, hoping for the best. And as they grew and they started to learn the game, they got better. Now, there was a time where I was gone, and, you know, you're talking about the Ragers and the other guys and all the other stuff.
It's a bad one.
Yeah, like some of the other draft picks.
Andre Dillard.
But what I think they've done, they've put a brain trust around them and a infrastructure around them that allows these young men to thrive mm-hmm. and feel comfortable being in this city. And they have, I'm going to even say, having Big Dom here. I think everything...
It did help with the Jalen Carter situation.
I feel like having the Big Dom here, having who was it, Connor Barwin here, having ex players and people that these the kids feel like, because they at the end of the day when they come from college they're still kids.
Sure.
So let's call it what it is, and to have that kind of structure around them to protect them and do things for them that they can't do, I think that helps out tremendously.
You know,
really
we've lost the plot when we're talking about, are you convinced the Eagles have figured out the NFL draft and Big Dom's a part of the conversation?
Listen, I'm trying to tell you. Okay, so why is it that every other team, to your point, this is a copycat league.
Yes.
And no other team has been able to emulate this.
Well, they're on a run. I mean,
why is it that all
the
of a sudden.
Eagles are on a hot run.
No, but and then why all of a sudden is it that Howie is talked about like, hey, Howie called, don't pick up the phone. He's about to fleece you.
So I think Howie's always been good at trades, contracts, free agency stuff. But
the draft is different.
The draft was one thing people thought he was bad at. And now it's almost like, let me give you a quick example, then we'll get to the phone lines. Imagine if you have a student who for like the first 5, 6, 7, 8 years of their school life, right? Like first grade, second grade, like their grade school life. They're like a C student, mm-hmm. right? And that's fine, right? They're not dumb, but they're a C student. And all of a sudden, they get to 8th grade, 9th grade, and they're getting straight A's.
They go, just blow up.
So there's one of two things. Maybe they have figured out how to study right. Maybe they have their mind has met their study habits. Maybe that's Howie, right? Or maybe they're just on a little hot streak here, and maybe that's not really who
they
are.
The hell of a hot streak.
It is. Well, I agree with that. I don't think anyone can master or figure out the NFL draft to this extent. 215-592-949. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middleton, are you convinced the Eagles have figured out the NFL draft? We're 8 days out from round one. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day.
Chris, what's up, buddy?
Guys, Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
You see what happens when you long talk? You stumble over your words and you give Kyle bit. Drops for the drop.
I board. Mean, but you know, that's Kyle going to get a drop regardless.
Let's just hope Trey Henderson doesn't come up again today. What's up, Chris?
Guys, it's Howie season's about to start. He's definitely figured out the draft. We won the Super Bowl, and we have 8 draft picks this year and even more next year. This, you know, should give wet blanket people like Kyle confidence because he keeps us loaded with draft picks so that when he does miss, because you're going to miss, he has maximum ammunition to come back and right the wrong. And that's what is making Howie so good at this. He's finally starting to, as you guys are highlighting, he's finally figuring out, you know, through the process of who to pick and hit better on those picks. But the one strength that he's now coupling this with was always his amazing ability to load up with draft picks. And not only that, to move about the draft and move to get the guys he want, which is how he got Cooper DeJean mm-hmm. that you guys were earlier referencing, that was a trade up. And again, that's what he's great at, is those aspects, accumulating the picks, moving around the draft board, and now making them more efficient.
So I agree, so Chris, but you also need a little bit of luck to make it work. Like, if Cooper DeJean was picked where he should have been a first-round pick. We all realize that after watching him for a full season. He was sitting there at 40, and Howie jumped on it. And that's why Howie's so good. You're not going to get as lucky every year. Like, this year's version of Cooper might be taken where he's supposed to get taken.
Joe, again, you're not going to, but when you have all those draft picks, it gives you more of a likelihood to have the ammunition to be able to make those moves. And that's what's going on. And guys, on this here day, I'm going on the record. I'm planting my flag on hump day. Howie will trade up in the first round to get the Philadelphia Eagles select tight end Tyler Warren, Penn State.
Oh, another Nittany Lion for you.
All of you people, we're going back to back. We are W-A-R-R-E-N Warren! Let's go, Howie!
Chris, good phone call. I mean, you'd rather have the Mason Taylor over Tyler Warren?
Yeah.
Is he better? Or you just want his aunt here?
I just want to see Andre.
Yeah, come on. Please, you're honest.
The thing that Chris started off with is exactly what upsets me. He said literally these phrases back to back. Of course the Eagles have figured out the draft. They just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's
nothing to do with each other.
That's been a problem for Kyle for the last couple of
years. It's so annoying.
Well, but here's why that doesn't work. Two drafts after they won their first Super Bowl, here was the draft class. You guys ready for this? This was same Howie Roseman. Same guy. Andre Dillard, Miles Sanders, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Sharif Miller, who I forgot he was even a person until right now, Clayton Thorson. Okay, that was the entire draft class. Miles Sanders was the only guy worth anything.
Oh, my gosh, it's awful.
Same guy, same Howie Roseman. He
was what draft class was that?
2019.
Yeah. I'm not trying to defend Howie, but what did that 2019 draft class look like as a whole?
Well, I'm sure there were some good players.
I mean, I'm just saying, what did it look
Well, how about this? Let me give you 2020, okay? And obviously, maybe the best pick in the franchise's history, certainly Howie's run, Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick in 2020. That's an all-time great pick for the Eagles. You guys know what the rest of that draft class looked like? Rager, Davion Taylor, Kayvon Wallace, Jack Driscoll, John Hightower, Sean Bradley, Quez Watkins, Casey Tuhill. Same guy. Again, I don't think Howie was an F student then. It was a tough draft. I don't think Howie is an A-plus drafter now. It all evens out. I'm not convinced they have totally mastered and figured out the NFL draft. 215-592-9049. If you're looking at the 2019 draft class,
yeah,
there's got to be some good players.
Ed Oliver. Nick Bosa.
Who was drafted around where they
Quentin
drafted
Williams,
Dillard?
Quentin Williams.
Dillard went, 22?
Dillard, I just saw it. He's 22.
So what was right after Dillard? Montez Sweat was there?
Titus Howard.
Montez Sweat.
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs is better.
Yeah. Marquise Brown, Hollywood decent. Mm-hmm. Sweat. Sweat was Washington. Yeah.
Well, that's a better pick. For sure. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls here. You convinced the Eagles have figured out the NFL draft. We're 8 days away from the first round.
Also nice to have Elliot in on a day like this when we get closer to the draft, now 6 days away, to the first round. It's going to be a busy weekend next weekend because, remember, it's a 3-day extravaganza. Elliot, 6 days from it,
yeah.
Whether it's the draft, the team, roster construction, philosophies on how to go about this whole thing, what's top of mind for you right now with the Birds?
Well, it's crazy. A week from now, we'll know who they selected, or at least what they did in the first round.
That's right.
For a draft that seems like it was inching along, it's finally here. You know, I do think they're going to end up getting a good player. You look at, even at 32, I think there'll be good options on the board there. I think that trading up is certainly a possibility. There's some safeties they could go after. Defensive lineman, deep draft for that. And I think everyone agree they need help there. But you know, I'll be honest, my biggest thought on the Eagles right now, so yesterday I'm doing my draft prep, you know, as I do as a football guy, and looking at the linebackers.
Yep.
And I'm going through these draft-eligible guys, and the first, you know, I'm like, oh, I like this player, and then I get to another one, and I'm like, oh, this guy looks good, or wow, this guy's athletic, I think he'd be a great pick. And I'll be honest, my biggest thought as I was sitting through the linebacker draft was, I'm shocked the Eagles paid Zach Bond. And that's not a shot at Zach Bond. Zach Bond was awesome. I do think he's a captain on the team. He's a great player. But it struck me how much when I was going through my draft prep, I thought to myself, wow, I'm surprised the Eagles did that. Like, I was looking at the running backs, and they brought Jaden Blue in from Texas, a guy that I think could be a special running back. There could be three running backs taken in the first round this year. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, I'm pretty surprised the Eagles paid a running back as much money as they did after, what, 6 years in the NFL? And, you know, I don't sit here and say, like, they're going to be bad next year and that these are massive mistakes. But as I was sitting there, I was thinking they've kind of strayed quite a bit from their philosophies.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, when you go one by one, which they kind of have been throughout the offseason, I've liked a lot of the moves, right? Like, again, Zach Bond's a great player. You know, the CJ-GJ trade, I understand. But it almost feels like it hit me all at once yesterday that one thing I've always known about the Eagles is they have a strong philosophy they believe in. And I think it's what's made them a great franchise over the past 20 years. Like, maybe only two, three franchises have been better than them since 2000.
But you worry that it may be drifting a bit?
It feels like it's drifting a bit. Like, paying a linebacker that much money, are we sure that that is the right way to go from here on out? Giving Saquon Barkley a contract that, let's be honest, is basically just a thank you gift.
Yep.
It does not benefit the team, really, outside of, you know, you could argue morale, but outside of that, it doesn't really. Trading CJ-GJ was certainly a shocking move. And as we enter the draft, like, I like to think that, yeah, well, I know they'll take a lineman or they'll take – I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I'm not sure, really.
If the old rules apply?
Yeah, if the old rules apply. And the other thing, too, last one I'll bring up is – when's the last time we had an offseason and we were all just sitting here going, yeah, they're just not really going to spend? Or they're just coming off the Super Bowl and we've all kind of accepted, yeah, it's not really about winning it again next year. It just seems like each one you can understand, but when you add them up in totality, like, are there philosophical changes happening with this organization?
Well,
and is that a good or a bad thing?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting thought. And obviously everyone can weigh in, 215-592-9494, if you agree with the premise that Elliot's discussing related to changes have been in the air and may remain in the air. And then to the extent that that's a problem or not as you perceive it. I agree with you, Elliot. It's not like the Eagles, I don't think, are going to tumble down to being average. Now, they did, you know, 7 years ago after winning the Super Bowl, they were almost average at 9-7 for what it's worth. They did tumble. Do I think they had a philosophical shift? No. But sometimes circumstances can bring you down a peg or three, and it can happen quickly. But I get your point. You're saying basically you think on the margins perhaps they're missing maybe some opportunity to repeat, essentially.
Well, I just think it feels like they're straddling the line a little bit.
Well, they are.
Either you're all in for next year, which I think we would all be accepting of. They just won the Super Bowl. Go in and try to repeat. Or emphasize the future. And if you're going to emphasize the future, how does giving Saquon Barkley a thank you check add into that?
So let me.
How does paying a 30-year-old linebacker or a 28-year-old linebacker?
All right, let me address this because you bring up a lot of interesting points, and obviously everyone can weigh in, 215-592-9494. So anyone who's listened to our show for, let's just call it the last, I guess it would be 3 years, and I'm going back when we were in the mid-days as well, me, John, and James, has known that I have worried about this topic at various junctures in the last couple of years. Let me go one by one. I would say the first philosophical shift I sensed was the acquisition of A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. And it did concern me more than most then because it was unusual for the Eagles to step out of their comfort zone of money primarily O-line, D-line, quarterback, maybe cornerback. Like, all of a sudden, I got a $100 million wide receiver. Huh. Okay, that's different. Well, yeah, but I can't complain in the aftermath that it hasn't worked out. It's worked out in spectacular fashion. He's one of the two or three best Eagles. They've made the Super Bowl two of his 3 years. They've won a Super Bowl. So I say Howie was on it there. Okay, that's one example. Then I would go to running it a lot.
Another good example.
Yeah, this one changed even before Saquon. I mean, they were doing it with Swift. They were doing it with Miles Sanders. They were doing it primarily then because of the Jalen Hurts running back combination and even things like certain offensive linemen, I think, being better at run blocking and pass blocking. So it went against seemingly what we've heard is the Lurie philosophy of pass, pass, pass. And I can't complain with that one. By the way, I coincide that with John saying years before that, hey, teams are going to start running it more because a lot of defenses are getting small. Get ready for it. Smart teams are going to start running the ball more, and they're going to have success. Well, the Eagles have. So I look back at that one and say that's another example of Howie, I think, ahead of the curve. What I'm getting at here is I tend to think that Howie right now is ahead of the curve because I think over the last 3 years or so he has proven to be and probably is again. All right, let's take on the Saquon contract. So, yes, is it unusual for the Eagles? Yes. Do I think they learned from the Terrell Owens situation? Oh, well, two different contracts. Let's go back to the one last year. So, and James, you'll know this. When they signed Saquon, I was like, eh.
You were?
I don't know. Like, I'm excited he's an Eagle, but I don't know that that's the right allocation of resources. It's not usual for the Eagles to do that. I'm talking about the three-year deal. Well, he had an all-time year. Obviously, 2,000 yards, and they, oh, by the way, won the Super Bowl. So that one worked. Now, the more recent contract for Saquon, which is a bump in pay, I think that's learning from the Terrell Owens situation. I really do.
And I also think Saquon asked for it. Like, of course. Like we keep saying, like, they gifted him this money. There's no way they were just like, here you go, Saquon. Like, Saquon asked for the money. Let's be real.
Yeah. So I do think that morale thing that you kind of glanced past, I think matters more than you alluded to in those 3 seconds.
It's never mattered before, though, and they won a ton of games. But, like, it feels like all of a sudden, also the other thing, quickly, they don't do in-season extensions anymore.
No.
Like,
why?
Don't.
Just not to hurt people's feelings?
I think,
like,
they tried to with Milton, but I don't. I think
maybe, but I mean,
they,
look how much more they paid Zach Bond. Look at the free agents they lost on these one-year deals. And it just, it feels like, and maybe this is a Nick Sirianni influence, I don't know, feels like they're a little more emotional than they used to be. Like, I feel like they used to be a cutthroat, like, this is our philosophy, this is what we do.
I agree with that.
And it doesn't feel like that's who they are anymore. Now, maybe to your point, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they are adjusting. Obviously, the results speak for themselves. They've been a great team. But also, I think when we've talked about the Eagles over the past 10, 15 years, we've always kind of said, well, you know what? There's a lot of Andy Reid influence on this team.
That's
like,
right.
Andy's like the one that built the ship that Howie Stirs kind of steers. I mean, you look at the Andy teams compared to now, like, and even look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't invest big money in running backs or linebackers. They don't invest big money in receivers. Now, they have Mahomes, which is obviously a huge part of it.
Sure.
But think of how different the Eagles are now than the Andy Reid teams that kind of built, like, the foundation of this franchise.
Well, look, we'll see where everyone stands. I mean, it is interesting because I think the basic premise is accurate that they have drifted from their philosophies, but I can't say that I feel bad about it. I mean, they've been to two of the last three Super Bowls, and I guess on this one I come back to trusting Howie. I think he's, ahead of the curve would be my sense.